So if you would, open your Bibles to Acts 2. We're in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And as you're turning there, I'm going to speak a little bit, because there's so many things that are going on in our world, and there's so many things going on in our lives, that there are times when we as the church, we get to the point that we are so busy that we are of no heavenly value. Okay? This is one of the things that I was taught in college when I had my bachelor's degree, and they reiterated in our master's degree program, and it just so amazes me because it's true. You can be so busy at being the church, or at doing church, rather, excuse me, at doing church, that you never become the church. Because it becomes all about the programs, and it becomes about all the work that we do here in the church. I know Miss Arlene and I, we sit down and we go over the calendar, and you know, there's meetings upon meetings, and ministry teams here and ministry teams there, and it just seems like the calendar is so full of everything that we need to do. When do we get time to be? Well, that's because pastors and churches have failed in how you implement church. And we're going to look at what first century church looked like. How many of you would like to be a first century church where they got it real and got it right? And they saw thousands coming to the Lord day after day after day. Wouldn't you love to have a church that was like that? I know I certainly would. So what did they have that we don't have? Well, they really did have simple church. They understood that it wasn't about doing a whole lot of stuff, but it was about being more than we are. Because with God, we are more than we can be. So let's look at what was going on in the first century church from verse 42 in the second chapter of the book of Acts. We read these words. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, doesn't that sound simple? I mean, it sounds to me like, wow, these people met together, and what was their business? What was their program? Okay? Well, we're told what their program was. It says here that they had everything in common, that they gave themselves, they devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. How many ministries is that? Four. How many ministries does a normal church have? Well, it depends on what your definition of normal is, okay? Because when I think about the church and what the church does, we have program after program. We have VBS programs. We have discipleship programs. We have special events. We have outreaches, we have car washes, we have fundraisers, we have bazaars, we have committee meetings, we have, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, if you think about it, what are some of the things that you can remember from church as you know it? Okay? Some of the things that I think is most amazing is the number of days that you are asked to be at a meeting at the church. Okay? How many of you live at the church? So it takes us all time to get there, doesn't it? Some of us live as far as, you know, half hour, 40 minutes away from the church. So there's half hour, 40 minutes one way. Then there's the meeting. Now, I don't know about you folks, but every meeting I'm in takes at least 2 hours. We can be talking about nothing, and it'll take 2 hours. I mean, you're all laughing, so I know I'm hitting a nerve, amen? And then it's a half hour back, and you speak to your spouse or whomever, and you, well, what'd you talk about? You won't believe it. We talked about nothing. We talked about blah, and it took 2 hours to get that done. Can you believe that? We're not to be doing all this stuff. We are to be the church in the world. When the church gathers, we gather for three purposes. Does anybody know what the three purposes of the church are? What are the three purposes of the church? What's the first and foremost purpose? Worship. What's the second one? I heard somebody else say it. Teach. And what's the third one? What was that? Nope. Yes. I labeled them this way, but that's the reality of it. To worship, to encourage and edify, or to fellowship, and to equip or teach. Those are the three purposes of the church. Most people think, well, no, well, the church is supposed to evangelize. No, no. You as the church are to be the church in the world, which means you will be evangelizing. Okay? Am I right, Brother Mitch?
Yes.
Amen. Did I get an amen to that?
Amen.
That means you're all going to do it, right? Because that's what amen means. So when we think about simple church and how do we do these things, because I want you to understand something. I'm not just saying this. This isn't my word. This is God's word. Turn to Psalm 96. Turn to Psalm 96. We're going to look at three particular scriptures because there are literally hundreds of them. I just simply picked three randomly. All right? Psalm 96. Verses 8 and 9. And God's children said, we are to worship God. We are to come before, we are to tremble before Him. How many of us come into church wanting to tremble? Or how many of us come into church thinking, all right, you know, I wonder what they're having for goodies up at the snack table? You know, today was the first time in a long time, and I'm going to say this, today was the first time in a long time, pastor was having a hard time during the confession of sin. I was ready to bawl because I'm looking out and I'm seeing everybody missing. And I know my sins, okay? And I'm looking, I'm seeing everybody missing, and I'm thinking, what are we missing? What are we missing, Lord? What's going on? Have we programmed the church so much that people are tired? And I have to ask myself that. Why? Because I'm the guy in charge, right? You know, they say the bad things roll downhill, except at church. At church, everything goes uphill. Okay? But also at church, one of the things I've come to notice is the pyramid is inverted because the people are at the top because we need to serve the people. Amen? So where's the bottom of the pyramid? It's at the point, at the tip. So it has to start with me. It has to start with me. Pastor's got to begin to look at things and make things simple. Pastor's got to look at things and say, you know, I need to make sure all your needs are being met. We need to make sure, Miss Sally and I need to make sure that when it comes to worship, we are doing everything by the power of God to touch the heart of God. And today, it was so amazing because I literally took notes on my bulletin. Let me get the right one. It says here for the opening, for the gathering songs, pastor is not going to walk up front no more. Because that's our gathering. Miss Sally needs to lead that. Miss Sally needs to lead that. And we don't bring the light in during the gathering because that's for us. That's for us. Okay, this is how real this stuff is getting for me. I mean, I'm asking God to talk to me about this. Tell me what you mean by simple church. And he showed me, he said, the gathering is for you people. That's for you to get your hearts right. And then you have that time of reflection, and that's when you're turning to me, and that's when the light needs to enter. That's what I wrote on here. Okay? The light should not enter until we're already there. We need to get there and ask him to be here. Because he says, where two or three are gathered in my name. So as we gather, he comes. He doesn't get there before us. Now, you all know that's a lie because he's everywhere all the time. Amen. But the reality is he's waiting for us to get our spirits right. The gathering is for us. We need to gather. We need to come together. And then we can honor him. Because once we've gathered, once we've got our hearts right, now we can come before him, right? Because the gathering songs are for us. And then we go into the meditation where we start thinking on him and we bring him in. Because that's where we're honoring him. And he needs to be in that place of honor. Amen? Simple church. Thinking about worship the way worship should be thought about. Honor the Lord. He says here, worship the Lord in holy attire. In holy attire. I want you to think about that. You know, that's something that many of us perhaps need to think about. What does holy attire mean? What does holy attire mean? Brother Bob. What's Bob pointing at? Your heart. Okay? We are to be equipped. You know, and some of you are going to think I'm nuts, but what does Ephesians tell us to put on, Whitey? The full armor, right? That's holy attire. We are to put on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So when we come in here, we are not to come in here. That's what the gathering songs are for. That's what the meditation is for. Do you see where I'm going with this? Till we get to that point, we've gathered. Now we can put on that holy attire. Now we can say, I need Christ on my heart. I need that time of meditation where I'm thinking about the Lord. I'm prepping myself. And in comes the Lord. We put him on at that moment. We gather into his thoughts. Because how many of us come with our junk? Okay? How many of us who were here this morning out in the hall were on our cell phones? How many of us here who came this morning were thinking about what's for dinner when we get home from church? Is that holy attire? No, we have to put on the attitude of our minds and the attitude of our hearts. We have to prep ourselves with the righteousness of Christ, whose every thought was God the Father. And what he could be in the potter's hands. And that's what he showed us, didn't he? And his life was an act of worship. So today, I want us to think about that worship. What does it mean? Are we willing to come into his gates with trembling in our hearts? How many of us, what would we do on a Sunday if God showed up? Now, there have been Sundays, and Miss Sally and I have spoken about it, and some of you have too, where we know God showed up. Amen? But there have also been Sundays where we left here wondering, what was that all about? But what would we really do if God showed up? Because it says to us in the book of Acts that we just read, what happened when the preaching and teaching was taking place? What transpired? Look back in your book of Acts. I'm asking you a question. This is interactive today. Okay? What's that? The church grew. What else happened? Many were saved. What else happened? What does it say? Don't be afraid to turn back in your Bible. This is an open book test. That's what I love to hear. Pages turning. Pages turning. What else does it say? Everybody's like, come on, somebody else. They were praising God. What else happened? Signs and wonders. Now there you know God showed up, don't you? All right? There were people being saved. We saw the Spirit. They saw the Spirit moving every day because people were coming in. Why were those people coming in? Because they were being invited in. And these people were happy about where they were and what they were participating in and what was going on in their worship. And I know you folks are literally telling people about our church. Okay? I do know that. But we live in a day where the darkness is so prevalent, we cannot stop. We cannot grow weary. We must continue speaking that truth. And when it does happen, we're going to see signs and wonders happening. How do I know that? Because throughout my ministry, I have seen those signs and wonders. Do they happen every day? Unfortunately, no, because we are really closed off as a people to the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? Because there are so many people that are so afraid of the Holy Spirit, you know, we don't believe those things anymore. You know, we're educated people. We understand that doctors heal. Well, folks, I've seen blood clots disappear in 24 hours. I've seen burned hands healed overnight. Second-degree burns healed overnight. Okay? I have watched a lady, now the healing for her took 6 months, but I watched a lady who walked with braces for over 15 years. Within 6 months of having hands laid on her, within 6 months, those braces were gone, and she still has not put those braces back on to this day. May I have praise and glory to the Lord. Amen. If God showed up, would we be ready to explain that stuff, or would we see the church doing what the church often does? I think it's amazing because there are times when I see in worship where somebody's bawling and they come up and they're pouring their heart out to the Lord and the people are coming up, oh, what's the matter? Well, you idiot, they just got saved. Ain't nothing the matter, everything's good. But because we don't allow the Spirit to move us, the first thing we do when we see somebody crying, we think something's wrong rather than something's good. We need to connect with the Spirit. We need to get into that spirit of worship. And the only way we're going to do that is to be prepared to come into that place, that we have put ourselves in holy attire, that we are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, anticipating what God would do. Did Jesus perform the miracles wondering if it was going to happen, or did Jesus speak it into being? He spoke it into being and it happened and it was and it is. That's part of worship. But that's also part of edification, which is the second step. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I mean, there are many. I'll be honest with you, I don't know any of the scriptures that I don't like. There are some I've argued with until God set me straight. Amen. From verse 24 and 25, Brother Bob, if you notice, I'm picking on my elders. Chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Please proclaim this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 24 and 25. Blessed be the word of the Lord. And the church says,
amen.
And amen. We gather together to encourage and to edify one another. One of the greatest aspects of the church is the fact that when we are out there in this world, that is, and this world really is tearing down the church, telling us we're to shut up, God is void, God doesn't exist, God doesn't matter. Do you realize right now, there is a pastor, an American pastor in Uganda, who has over 1,000 charges placed against him because he was preaching the gospel and two homosexual men got into an argument and one shot the other. Well, rather than arresting the homosexuals that shot each other, because their argument was over their sexual intercourse, they've arrested the pastor and said that his message is unhumanitarian. This is the world we live in. And we need to come together. We need to draw one to one another, to encourage each other in this time of darkness. Because when you're out there in the world and you start talking about God and you hear, well, you can't say that here. You know, I just read an article from the one magazine, the electronic magazine that I'm subscribed to, and it tells of a 5-year-old boy in kindergarten was expressing to his fellow classmates, because his mom would put little scriptures in his lunchbox, so he would get them out and he would read them, and these kids all loved them and they thought they were great, and so they started asking him for them. The teachers shut him down. The teachers shut him down. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. You can't bring God into school. It literally went to court. As soon as it hit the courts, and I'm not talking the little courts, because it got bumped up, because it just, and now it's into superior court. All of a sudden the school changed its tune, because now we're talking the Second Amendment. Now we're talking our religious freedoms. And folks, it's sad that it has to come to that. But if we are not meeting together to encourage one another, to help one another, excuse me, our First Amendment rights, not Second, Second Amendment's the gun rights. Close. Because they're taking that one away too, okay, or trying to. But we need to understand that this encouragement is to heal brokenness. This encouragement, because how many of us get discouraged every day? Because you turn on the TV and all you hear and all you see is junk. It's junk. And they're calling it news. They're telling us how to think. They're not reporting news to us. They're telling us how to think. They're telling us how we ought to live. They're telling us what is normal. I didn't realize Jerry Springer was in charge of the news companies. But we need to understand that this place, this in-gathering, there's a reason for it. Because I don't know about you, but after a week of being out there, I need my brothers and sisters around me. I need your encouragement, and I need to be an encouragement to you. You know, there are so many times that I get phone calls, Pastor, I just need to talk. Do you have time? Well, I'll guarantee you right now, if you ask me that question, Pastor is never going to say no. I can be in the middle of the most arduous thing that I have for my day, and as soon as that phone rings and it's one of you on the other end, you are the most important thing in my life at that moment. And I'm going to put everything else aside. I don't care what it is. There have been days, and this is not a joke, you can talk to my doctors. There have been days that I have not gone for my blood work for a week because I had this happening and this happening and this happening and this happening. And my doctor's office would call me every day, you need to get your blood work. You need to get your blood work. You need to get your blood work. I'm busy. I got this going on. I have that going on. My church needs me. Well, if you don't get your blood work, you may not be around for your church to need you. God will take care of me. Always has. I've been dead all but 7 times, and he's kept me from that. I'm sure he can keep me from a blood test. But we need to edify one another. We need to come together to heal the brokenhearted. How many times do we need that encouragement? And we also need this to help transformation take place. When we come together and iron sharpens iron, what happens to the iron? Does it wear down? Beg pardon? It becomes stronger and sharper and purposed. Okay? And that's what we need to understand. This edification that happens is also the understanding of coming to the reality of where our gifts are, how we're gifted. Because this is the place where we get to experiment and see where I'm gifted, and then go off into those areas of ministry within the church and into the world. And some of you have. Some of you are volunteering at some of the different ministries around Lebanon County and around the United States. And that is being the church. That's what we are to be equipping you to do, which is our third and final aspect. Because it's as we come and worship God, we who then come together become edified and encouraged and changed, and our brokenness is healed because we've touched the hem of God. We all get to discuss it. And this is one of the things that I love, because I told you there is a day coming when this church will be able to express to one another the deep secrets that we each have, and it won't be shared outside this church. And I have watched that take place in the women's ministry. I have watched that take place in the men's ministry. And I am glorying in the Lord, because in most churches, it would be a gossip fest. Am I right? But God is doing a work. And look how small we are. Folks, He doesn't want us to stay small. He wants us to grow. He wants us to share what we have. Now, that may mean, guess what, ladies? You find comfort in 15 people. So if it gets to the point where it's 20, we break off into two women's groups. And if the guys get to the point where they're at 20, we break off into two men's groups, because you can't share with 25 people. You're not going to get intimate. You're not going to heal. You're not going to be that encouragement. You're not going to be that edification. But we're still going to come together. We can come together as a large group for what? Worship. And then we can break off into our small groups for what? Edification and education. Which again, as I said, is our third aspect. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 15. Thus saith the Lord, Brother Ryan.
1 through 15, Titus chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you.
Let no one disregard you. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen. We are here to be equipped. We are here to be schooled. We are here to become the church. This facility where we meet is meant to be a platform for training. It is to be a platform of sending you out into this world. We come together in worship, to worship our one true God, and to love Him, and to find that encouragement from one another, edification, and to edify, to fellowship, to be built up, to be recharged, and then to be taught what is right, good doctrine. And I don't know about many of you, but I truly have fallen in love with our discipleship time. I love our discipleship time. We are teaching some very decent and in-depth truths of God in our discipleship time. And we're getting ready to add some more things to it, where there's going to be a 1 week a month where the women are going to have a time of getting together that it's just the women teaching the women and the men teaching the men. Why? Because it's good to come together and to teach doctrine and to chew these things up and to be prepared and to be equipped. But then we need to actually move into these places that we just read of, where the women are to teach the other women how to be women. And the men are to teach the men how to be men. We have young men coming up in this church, and how many of those young men really know what it means to be a man? How many of those young women really know what it means to be a woman? We expect osmosis to get it in there somehow. Okay? We don't talk about these things at home, but we need to talk about them, because if we don't teach our children, who will? The world, and it is an excellent teacher. I just read yesterday, this is yesterday's news, in Australia, there is a four-year-old boy, or a four-year-old child, we don't even know if it's a boy or a girl, it didn't say, but there is a four-year-old child who believes they're transgender. And this child, through the school that he is attending, is now going to have surgery, or she is attending, because like I said, it doesn't say. 4 years old, they are going to have surgery to have their gender altered, because this is what they've been teaching these children. 4 years old! You're not even a sexual being at the age of four. This is lunacy, but it's what's being taught into our world. We have got to be taught what is right, what is good, what is true, what is noble, and we need to think on these things. That's God's word. That's not my word, right? That is God's word. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous, think on these things. Where do we get righteousness, purity, goodness from? We only get it from God and from His word. Our world says there are no absolutes. That is poppycock, because that's an absolute. We must understand that for anything to be, something had to bring it into being. That means something caused us. We are not a cosmic accident. There is too much design in everything that we are. You know, the scientist. Oh my God. Huh? Darwin said that the simple cell developed into all these complex things. We know now, because of science, that there is no such thing as a simple cell. There never was such a thing as a simple cell. There are single-celled organisms out there that they say, oh, well, it's just a nucleus and some plasma and a cell wall, and it just, you know, it lives. Well, how does it live? Because it has motors in it. Because it has DNA in it. Because it has a plan and a purpose. There's more information in the DNA of that single-celled animal than the Library of Congress can hold. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never seen anybody throw a bunch of stuff in the air and have something come out of it. And they expect us to believe that a little piece of matter that contained all the matter in the known universe, which this is an amazing thing now, people, because right now we know for a fact that there are 145 billion galaxies in what we can see of the universe. Okay? 145 billion galaxies in what we can see of it. Because it used to be smaller. And then we got the next telescope, and it got bigger. And then we got the next telescope, and it got bigger. And then we got the Hubble, and all of a sudden our universe blew up. And it became so big that we have no idea. We cannot fathom where the ends of it are. Okay? I want you to think about this. How powerful is our God? How mighty is our God? Do you realize in the very beginning, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. I want you to look at the very book of Genesis. This just blows my mind. This just blows my mind. And Pastor's not even going to look. I'm just going to give it to you. Right from the very first of Genesis. Because I want you to understand how big our God is, how great our God is, how immense our God is. And they want us to think such finite stuff as to throw us into the rubbish heap. God said, in the beginning was God, and His Spirit hovered over the deep. So there was nothing here. Nothing. Nothing. Not even space. Just God Himself. And He hovered over the deep. What's the deep? Does anybody have any idea what the deep is? Oh, I've asked God about this, and I may be wrong because this is Pastor Rich. I can't go there theologically. This is Pastor Rich because nobody knows. What's the deep? The deep is God Himself. The deep is how full, how all-knowing, how great He is. How deep is God? There's nothing that He doesn't know. There's no place He does not exist. And all of a sudden, God said, "Let there be light." And this thing that was this nebulous, this God who was just this, thought and opened His mind. Grab this. Please grab this. As soon as He opened His mind, all of space became real. Space. Now we know our universe exists in space. So if the universe is, there's 145 billion that we can see, inside all this space, how big is the space that unfolded when God opened His mind? Because it goes beyond that. This goes to speak of just how immense our God is and how much He wants us to understand that He knows how much He holds together, how much power is in His right hand. And we are worried about stupid things such as sexual orientation, when God has created us male and female. Sin has brought this other stuff into our lives, and people don't want to recognize that the God who expands the universe, space inside the universe, is what tells us how big our God is, not the number of universes, because space goes beyond the universes and is through the universes. And it's amazing, because within that space is this stuff called black matter. We can't see it, but we know it's there because it has weight, it has mass, okay? But we have no idea what it is. It's God, for heaven's sakes. It's the very Creator in the midst of His universe, in the midst of His creation. When He unfolded His mind, He hung all of us there with Him. And He has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. We are but stardust. I want you to think about that. And I don't mean that in the sense that, yeah, some star sprinkled some dust and we came to life. Woo-hoo, fairy tales. We are but dust. Scripture says that, doesn't it, Mitch? And God took the dust of the earth and formed it into a man. And He breathed the breath of life into that man's nostrils. And he became a living being. And then He took more dust and made Eve, right? No. He took His rib because He wanted her to be of the same substance, of one mind, of one body. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Where are you going to find that? Out there in this world? No, here in the church. And it's our third and final thing that we need to do. We need to teach you. We need to educate you. We need to let you understand that there is an infinite mind out there, and His name is God. But He's not just out there. He's right here with us, and He wants to know you personally. He knows your name. The Scripture says He knows the number of hairs on your head. God, I love Him. I'm so grateful for Him. But if we're not teaching that here, if we're not giving you that equipment, how can you go out there into the world and be the church? Because you see, it's not about what we do. It's not about the programs that we have. It's not about being so busy at doing church that we can't be the church. We need to get back to the simplicity that church is meant to be. We need to understand that each purpose God has is part of a process. Because you see, you can't be encouraged or edified outside of worshiping God. Because if I begin to encourage you and edify you outside of God, what am I doing? Think about that. If I encourage you and edify you outside of God, what am I doing? Doesn't the world do that? You're a good person. You can accomplish all things. There's nothing that you can't do. All of a sudden, who becomes God? We're not God. We know it. There's a world out there that needs to know it. You see, if you remove the steps, if you take away any one of the steps or put them out of order, it doesn't work. God's process is very real. God teaches us. You have to come to me first. Worship me. I am God. You know, there are people, and I've literally heard this, well, you know, that's pretty self-centered. There's a God out there that really needs us to worship Him. I think that's funny because every person on the face of the earth wants everybody to worship them. Your every thought outside of God is about who? You certainly aren't thinking about me. You're thinking about you. What am I going to do today? How can I get more money? How am I going to pay my bills? Ha la 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 la, ha la 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 la, ha la 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 la. Sounds like a Christmas carol, doesn't it? But that's what we do. And we have bought that reality. We need to remember that it's all about God. I've been teaching you folks this for such a long time, and it so amazes me when I start seeing it click and people start getting it right, because all of a sudden you begin climbing to new heights in life and you begin to experience that, wow, things are a whole lot easier. Now, does that mean we're not going to have struggles? Oh my goodness, we start worshiping God and we start getting edified, we're not going to have any troubles. How many of you wish that were true? But because we worship God and we're here to edify one another, we can get through those times of trouble. Why? Because we know who is here to strengthen us. We know whose righteousness we have. We know that coming together, we can arm in arm, hand in hand. We never have to walk it alone. I've told the story before. This little girl was crying, you know, she was all beside herself, and she went to her daddy and said, "Daddy, I just really need a hug." And daddy was trying to teach her the spiritual truths. "Well, you know, you don't really need a hug from me. You can go to your heavenly father." And you know, he was pontificating all the good things. You know, when people have trouble, we all do it. We all get our Bible out and we tell them these things, right? Well, folks, sometimes they need God. And sometimes God is you in the form of human flesh just sitting there crying with them. Because the little girl said to her daddy, "Yes, daddy, I know God loves me and He's there for me, but sometimes I just need somebody that has flesh on." Another story that I love was a story about a little boy. This little boy was there and his neighbor's wife died. And the old man sat across the street on his porch every day. And finally, one day, the little boy decided he was going to go over. Now, this little boy was a terror in the neighborhood, you know, Dennis the Menace type kid, right? So he went over, and his mom didn't see him go over. She'd have likely stopped him. But she went out, and there he was sitting on the porch with this gentleman, literally sitting in his lap. And the mother called because she was so scared. "Oh, my goodness, what's he doing over there? You know, the man's just a recent widower, Johnny, come here, Johnny, come here." So he comes running over to the house, and his face was full of tears, and he said, "Mom says, Johnny, what were you doing over there?" He says, "Well, you know, Mr. Jones' wife died. And I went over there, and he was crying." Mom says, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "I crawled up in his lap, and I helped him cry." If God didn't just show up in that moment, I don't know who did. Sometimes God just wants us to be real, to allow Him to come through us, to be flesh in this world. Isn't that what Jesus became? Flesh in this world. And doesn't He reside in us? So shouldn't we be going out there and reaching out into this world? Jesus didn't tell us that we have to climb up on the cross. He did that for all of us. We don't have to go there. But we at least have to get people there so that they can see it and accept it for themselves. That's the point of our education. That's the point of our process. That we come together, we worship, we edify, we teach. And all of that moves us along the line so that we are constantly moving to higher and higher planes of spiritual reality. You know, Brother Bobby says it so often. We're going to pray to the third heaven. There's levels of heaven, all right? Do you know there's levels of existence here on earth too? I don't know how many of them there are, but I know there are babes in Christ. Those people who just come in and they're pooping their diapers all over the place. Amen. You better say amen because some of you people were there. Okay, then we have the next level, toddlers, where we got to take them to the bathroom and show them where it is and sometimes tell them how it works, right? Then we have adolescents who think they know it all, have all the answers, got it all right until they fail and come running back to us. Ain't none of us ever been there, right? And then there's us adults. We have all the answers. That's why we're here, amen? Because we realize we don't have the answers. We know we need God to teach us and we need each other. That's the awesome thing about being in the church, about being the church. It's about that edification, that fellowship, that education, and all of that pours out of worship. The process is simple. God's process is real. How much time did I use up? I didn't realize I'm that late. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be showing you how we, the elders and the deacons, the leadership, have come together and how we see Simple Church working in our church. Because the way Simple Church is written, it's actually a book out there. It's called Simple Church. You can look it up and order it. I, for those of you who are in leadership, I know you already have it, but for those who aren't, please get the book, read it. It is an awesome read, okay? It is so simple to be church. We just have to unclutter ourselves to be church and to be His church, capital C, because so many churches are so busy being the small C church that they miss the mark. And their people are unfulfilled and discouraged because they're so busy, so tired, that they don't have time for life. And what we're supposed to be doing is preparing you to go out there and live life abundantly. Isn't that what Jesus said? So what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how we have looked at who we are and what God has called us to be as the church and what we have determined that our process should be. Now, in the book, they gave several different examples because there are several different ways that you can do it. Every church has the right to look at themselves, who they are, and determine how you're going to do Simple Church. We've determined how we are going to do Simple Church. I'm going to give you these today. I'd like you to write them down because we looked at it and we said, okay, we are the Heart of Christ Church. What is our mission statement? To transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. Well, gee, it sounds to me like we're getting some of it right there, okay? Because that speaks of edification and education, okay? That speaks of edification or equipping believers. So the third part of that then needs to be the worshiping God. So as we looked at this and we talked about it and we said, you know, where are we going to go? Well, Pastor Rich said, you know, Jesus already told us. He gave us three commands. What is the first command that Jesus gave us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That sounds like worship, doesn't it? And it says, And Jesus said unto them, and the second, because they only asked him which commandment was the greatest, and then he gave them two. He went one step further, praise his name. He said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Huh, I think that's the fellowship part, isn't it? That's the edification part, isn't it? Love God. We're going to worship him. Love your neighbor as yourself. Edify. And then what was the third thing Jesus told the church? To go. Go ye therefore into all the world. Now I think it's neat because under that there's some other things he says. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Do you see what Jesus just did in that third and final piece? The first one and the second one is all the Old Testament, all the way up to Christ. And the third one is everything Christ taught. How much of this Bible are we supposed to exemplify? All of it. How many of us should be reading this thing from cover to cover? And how much of it should we be reading? Because God wants us to be all of it. He's purposed us to be all of it. And we can do it so simply by loving him, loving others, and going and teaching them to obey. You see, just to go is not what he said. We are to go and we are to evangelize. We are to bring them into the church for what purpose? That they too may then be edified and equipped, that they can be taught to obey his commands. You see, that's what's wrong with our church today. There are so many people in the United States of America today that call themselves Christians, but they do not worship God because they don't come together on Sunday to worship him. They don't come together to be edified with the rest of the believers. And they don't sit under good doctrine. But yet they consider themselves Christians. Where do they get their doctrine from? Their own minds. Whatever they want God to be. Because truly, who is their God? Themselves. We need to bring them out of that. God has given us that ability. And he has shown us how we are to do it. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at those three pieces. Loving God, loving others, and going and teaching to obey. And we're going to see how that's going to work in our own church. We're going to talk about some of those very realities. And I pray that you'll join me and that you'll bring some people in. Because this is going to be new. No, it's going to be old. Okay, these are things that I've been teaching for years. The only difference is we're going to begin implementing and we're going to begin working. Because I don't need you so busy that you can't be the church because you're constantly doing church. I want you to be the church while you're doing life. Because isn't that what God intended? He says, and all the people, I think it's so amazing. And all the people found favor with them. Did you read that with me when that was read there at the very beginning in the book of Acts? Won't it be awesome to be able to change a community that they would look upon us and say, those people are awesome. Rather than, those people need to shut up. Today I challenge you, let's start looking at simple church. Let's start getting it right. Love God. Let's worship him. Love others. Let's get into the reality of edifying and encouraging and equip others. Let us go teaching them to obey everything Christ has commanded. Let us be the church that we call ourselves to be, the heart of Christ's church. Would you pray with me today? Father God, there's so much going on in our world right now, and there is great turmoil, and there's no greater way to see it than to just look around and see how much turmoil there is, not only in the world, but within the church itself. For Lord, you have told us that these things will happen. And Father, I pray that we would equip one another to make it through, because it is not those who make it halfway through, but as your word tells us, to those who persevere to the end, you will give the crown of righteousness. So may it be, Lord, that we persevere to the end, that we stay fast in all that you are, that we come under your teaching, and that we love you and worship, and that we edify one another as only you can edify through us, that we would be equipped to be the church in the world rather than so busy doing things that were of no use to anyone. Father, bless us in this week. We pray blessing upon all those who are absent from us this day, and we ask your hand over all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, and amen. You may be seated. As we come before our Lord,
you have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.